Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey.
And we're back for another episode in our new series, Pastor Please.
Pastor Please. This is
178.
Yeah, today's 178. This is a new series. We're going to do like, I don't know, 11, 12 of them total. And what we're doing is just the things that, and we're doing it from the perspective of me as a pastor, but the things your pastor just begs you to do or not to do, like Pastor Please, as in P-L-E-A-S, no E on the end. Like, I am pleading with you, as your pastor, pleading with you, don't do these things. And here's the reason. Like, there are, we talked about this in the last episode, just to set this up, but if your pastors or your spiritual leaders really care about you, what they're caring about is wanting you to grow and wanting you to mature, and specifically wanting you to avoid certain snares and pitfalls that are extremely common. Mm-hmm. And so there are certain things that I see people walk into all the time. Some of them I've done too, like the one we talked about last week. And I just, these are the things where if I could just beg you or force you or make you or whatever the word is to do or not do these things, these would be the things. You've seen so many people over the years fall into these particular traps. I have done it too. All right. So I'm just sitting here like I know what I'm talking about, and y'all do what I say and do it perfectly like me. I don't mean that. I've walked into them too. And so it's just that if I could plead with you to do something or not do something, these would be those things. They're very common. People walk into them very easily. And they're very difficult to get out of, and they cause me problems. So if you could just avoid these, it would be really good. And I think most of them are don't do these things, but some of them are do these things. And so that's just kind of what we're talking about. And the reason is because I love you and I care for you. And you know, it's like certain things you do with your children, right? You're like, hey, look, don't do this. This is a bad idea, because you've seen it. You've watched people. It's the same thing here. That's the idea. That's what we're doing. So it's just a bunch of random stuff that I've seen through the years. If I could just force you not to or to do these things, that's what it would be. So last week was the first one. That was episode 177. If you hadn't seen that yet or listened to it yet, I guess you can't see it. If you hadn't listened to it yet, go back and take a listen. That one was what, Steph? What was it?
Get counseling earlier than you think.
Get counseling earlier than you think. So we started to try to sort of debunk the fact of, you know, that every single human being needs counseling. And so we kind of take the stigma off of that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you need it much earlier than you could think. So any pastor I know would sit down with you for the most part and beg you, please get counseling in your life earlier than you think you need to.
Yeah.
Don't wait until things go wrong. Do it when things are going okay. Do it when things are just middle of the road. But every human being is going to need counseling all the time, right? If not multiple times in your life. And so get it earlier than you think. That was the truth. Plead from last week. Pastor, please, 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 little sucker, please get counseling. that's very – that this episode – if somebody listens to episode 3-4 years from now, they won't make any sense, right? But that song's popular right now. So and I just called you all little suckers. So at least I didn't use the real word of the song. Anyway.
Yeah, thank goodness.
All right. And so that was last week. Today's going to be a short, quick episode. Most of these will be kind of short. And so today is 178. Like Steph says, Steph, which one are we doing today? What plea am I giving today?
Quit being fearful of doubts.
Quit being fearful of doubts. Man, oh man, if I could tell people do not be scared of questions and doubts. Now, here's the thing. Lots of us who grew up in a church in the South a long time ago, doubts were seen as like they were horrible. Like you couldn't have them, and so everybody pretend like they didn't have them, right? You just had to have faith no matter what, and everybody ignored big questions and ignored doubts. They weren't talked through in church well. They weren't talked through and led by example from pastors. I remember asking a particular question that was sort of centered around a doubt. I'm a science dude. I like science. I like math. I like numbers. And I remember when I was a child, maybe 11, 12-ish, you know, that time frame when you're starting to really think about your own faith. And so it was, I had this question of, about dinosaurs, right? And I asked my pastor about these and was basically told to be quiet, that we don't talk about stuff like that. Because my question was based on, where are these fit in the scripture and the time frame on these things versus the time frame of the Bible? It just didn't add up to me, right? And so instead of exploring those doubts, talking through those questions, my pastor, my leader was just like, be quiet. We don't ask those questions. We don't doubt those things, right? Or if you ever would, you know, if you had these feelings, and everybody has these. Like, that's the thing. Everybody has doubts.
Yep.
Everybody has questions. Would it make you feel better if I told you that I've been a pastor for 25 years and I have regular doubts about things all the time? I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, the matriarch of our church died.
Yeah.
Her name was Donna. She was the mama of the church.
Amazing woman.
Just the mama of the church. I mean, she just was. She was the mama of the church. Been with us since the church was a couple months old.
Yeah.
She was just an amazing person. She was one of the most godly people I've ever met.
Agreed. And,
but she had a heck of a testimony. Like, she lived a life too. You know
she
what I mean?
She was one of the realest people we knew too. Authentic.
I mean, absolutely. Just real and authentic.
Funny. I loved her.
So helpful to people, cared for people more than any human being I've ever seen. Like, our mission at the church is love God, love people, prove it. Donna's the most prove it person I've ever met in my life.
I agree.
And Donna got diagnosed with cancer. And by the time she figured that out and told us, it was a very, very, very short window before she died. I actually think she knew a lot longer before she ever told anybody. But she died pretty quickly. And yeah. I remember going to see her when we figured all this out. We knew it was going to be happening pretty quickly. And within a short period of time of going over there multiple times, she passed away. And we left that place, her house, which she only lives 5 minutes down the road from me. We left that house, and I'm the pastor in this situation, you know, supposed to have all the answers, supposed to know all the things. And I remember placing my head in Valerie's lap and crying in the car and saying this statement, I hope this is real.
Yeah.
Like, I hope all this that I believe and Donna believes, and I hope all this is real, right? And in that, like, there's hope and belief there, but at the same time, there's doubt and disbelief there, right? Yeah. And I think that's just a quick example. There's lots and lots of doubts and questions I wrestle with all the time, right? All the time.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that we need to say that loud. So maybe it helps you to hear a pastor who you obviously are listening to their podcast, right? So you think I got something good to say, that I have lots of doubts and questions. I have them all the time, right? It'll happen when I'm reading through scripture. It'll happen when I'm praying. It'll happen when stuff happens in the church or doesn't happen. Or, I mean, I'll just, sometimes I'll be riding down the road and I'm a God. I mean, I've laid my life on the line. Like, everything I have, my life is bet on Jesus and his church, right? Everything. My children, my wife, our family, our livelihood, our workplace, my career, everything's pushed in on it. And I still will have multiple moments where I leave and I go, is this thing real? Right?
Yeah.
Is God really there? Like, I'll have those moments. We were watching a movie the other day. Madeline is obsessed with it. It was a book that came out when I was a kid. And it's called Hey God, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Right? And it's a weird book to read when you're a young boy, which is when I read it, because it's about a girl getting her period, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally about a girl going through, you know, the early parts of puberty and her questioning if God's there. And there's this weird discrepancy in her life because her mother's family is Christian and appears to be evangelical Christian. I can't remember if they really are, if they're Catholic or whatever, but anyway. And then the father's parents are Jewish. And there is this weird battle between the grandparents on which God Margaret is going to follow. Right. It's really funky. So she's got this kind of, she's got this question constantly. Are you there, God? Is God real? And she just kind of sees it play out in this book that's turned into a movie. which allowed me and Madeline to have, which is our youngest daughter. She's eight going on like 36. Anyway, have this conversation of, she was like, why is Margaret questioning whether God's real or not, Dad? I was like, because sometimes in real life you feel that way sometimes. You have those doubts. You have those questions. And Madeline's young right now. So she's like, that doesn't make any sense. I would never doubt that God was real. And right. So I'm sitting down going, you will. You will. Daddy, there's no way. Maybe you won't, baby. Maybe you'll be the one. But I'm telling you, every single person I've ever worked with, including myself, has these moments of doubts and questions. And so as a pastor, I would beg you to not be scared of those doubts. And do not push down those doubts or those questions as if it is some indication to you that your faith is weak, right?
I actually
don't think that's the way it works. I actually think that questions and doubts are not the enemy of our faith. They are a way to deepen our faith. I'm going to say that again. This is a good line, right? Maybe Jonathan can pull something of that out and we'll throw it on social. But questions are not the enemy of our faith. They are a way to deepen our faith. If you will lean into the questions and the doubts that you have, I think that your faith will grow. If you end up pushing those questions and doubts aside and ignoring them, I think your faith will get weaker. I think that the more you press into all of those doubts and questions you have, like is God real? Did Jesus have to die? Did it have to go down like this, right? Does God really care what's going on in my daily life? You know, how does science and what we're discovering about the universe, how does that play into the Bible, right? Are there discrepancies in the scripture? Are there ways in which the scripture is contradicting itself? Those questions and natural things that you'd have, pay attention to them, walk into them and ask them and study about them and talk about them, and that will actually deepen your faith, not pull you away from it. Because the bottom line is Jesus, one of Jesus' biggest declarations is the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And so if Jesus is the truth, then anything we discover is ultimately going to lead to and point to Jesus. It just may be several layers down. Any scientific discovery we find, any discovery out into the vast universe, any question that or doubt that we would lean into, eventually we're going to land ourselves on the truth because Jesus is the truth. And I fully believe this. And I'm a science nerd. And I think that the more I lean into science, the more I end up having a deeper faith. Even though those questions, those doubts still sort of persist, it's a way for me to deepen and grow that faith. And so what we would do most of the time, though, is we push them aside. We go, I'm not a good Christian if I think that thought. I'm not a good Christian if I ask that question. I'm not a good Christian if I doubt God's goodness or God's existence or whatever it is. I'm not a good Christian if that's that. So the only answer I have is to go, nope, I'm wrong. That's not the case. I don't think that's true. I think you can lean into those questions and doubts. And I'm telling you, the greatest example of faith, of what real faith looks like, is the example of Jesus about to heal. I think it's Jairus's daughter. I could be wrong on this completely, but I think it's Jairus, and I think he's about to heal his daughter. And he says to Jesus, "Yes, I believe. Help my unbelief." It's the most realistic, real statement of faith in all of the scriptures. Yes, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how most Christians feel. Jesus, I'm submitting to you. I believe. I believe you're real. I believe these things. And yet, help my parts of me that want to not believe. Help my parts that are doubtful. Help my parts that have questions. Help my unbelief. I think that's the real statement of faith. And Jesus, by the way, sees that statement of faith and honors it. So it can't be that you can have doubts and questions and disbelief and that somehow dishonor God. I just don't think that's the case. I think that you honor God by, I'm going to take my doubts and questions to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not hold them back.
That's right.
Not run away from them. And when I'm around somebody who has doubts and questions, I'm not going to pretend like I have all the answers. And I'm also not going to pretend like they shouldn't think or talk about those things. I'm not going to act like it's ludicrous that somebody would have a question or a doubt or whatever it is, because I just don't think that's the case. And by the way, I'm not prescribing the fact that Jesus had doubt in any way, shape, or form by saying this. I'm not assigning doubt to Jesus. I'm not assigning disbelief to Jesus. But when Jesus walks into the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he's about to be arrested, hours before he's about to be beat like a dog and brutally murdered, right? Jesus has a conversation with God where he's like, take this cup. If we can do this in any other way, I'd like to do that, right? And then immediately follows it up with, though, a not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
There's a part in that. I'm not saying he's got doubts and questions, but there's a don't miss the humanity of part of Jesus, right? It's this part where he goes, he looks fully into the wrath of God that's about to be laid upon him. And he says, hey, if we can do this another way, that'd be awesome. It's just this pause. It's almost like a question, right? It's a human side. Mm-hmm. And then there is the response. So instead of holding it back, he takes it to the Father. And then at the same time goes, not my will, but your will. So I'm gonna step forward with my belief, even though I don't want to say questions or doubts, but like, I don't know about this. You know what I mean? But I'm going to push forward with it regardless. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's really what it looks like to follow Jesus, is it's not this, I completely believe, understand, got it all, I figured it all out, or the parts that I don't get, I'm just going to ignore. I don't think that that's real. I just don't think it's real. And so as a pastor, my plea in this episode is please, 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 no joke, please, 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 do not hide from your doubts and questions. Take them to the Lord. Take them to the Bible. Take them to spiritual leaders in your life and wrestle with them. Mm-hmm. Wrestle with them, wrestle with them, wrestle with them. And I'm telling you, if you wrestle with those things, it will deepen your faith. The things that have grown my faith deeper are the things that I don't understand. I admit I don't understand them, and I try to push into understanding them. Some of them I understand now. Some of them I still don't, right? Like, there's some things I still don't get, and they make me question. You know, when you have natural disasters and tragedies happen in the world, it makes you question, right? Why God let this happen? Why is this going on? Is he paying attention? Does this even care? Is this even real? Is he even real? It makes you ask those questions. And so it's okay to admit those things. I mean, I just don't see why we wouldn't admit them. I think it's a basic part of humanity. And I think the more I read that scripture, I hope I was right about it being Jairus.
I looked it up.
The more I read that, the more I want to live that level of an authentic faith. Help me believe. Yes, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, Jesus, I'm yours. I believe in you. I have staked my life on you. Right? And yet there are lots of moments where I really need the Spirit's help in my unbelief. Right?
That's right.
And I think way too many people fall into this trap. And so they have questions, they have doubts, and what they do is they sit on them, they're ashamed of them, they carry guilt for them, and what happens eventually is because they never address them, they never talk about them, they never study about them, that their faith gets weaker and they start to fall away versus actually leaning into it and letting it deepen your faith. Like, let's just say you were questioning, let's just give a hypothetical, that you were questioning you were questioning God's justice. Okay. What does it mean to be just and right? So if God's holy and perfect and righteous, what does it mean that God commands the justice of God? Like, when you look through the scriptures and you see these times in scriptures where God's just annihilating a whole group of people, right? That's in there, by the way, multiple times.
Yeah, it is.
What do you do with that? And if you will begin to read and study and pray about, what does it look like for somebody perfect to have justice? You'll start to realize that even though you really don't know what to do with scriptures, I don't still know what to do with them for the most part, but you go, well, if somebody's actually perfect holy, then not having justice would make them unholy. Mm-hmm. So there has to be some sort of level of justice. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
And so I didn't answer my question fully, or that question fully. But now I'm thinking about it. I'm leaning into it. I'm reading about it. What's the heart of God? Let me look at these weird scriptures I don't understand, like when he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, for example.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody says, when you study that and people pay attention to it, everybody says he destroys them because of their sexual deviance. If you look deeper at that scripture, I just preached on this several weeks ago. If you look deeper in that scripture, you'll realize that that was part of it. But what really was going on was the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The heart, right? It's all about the heart. And so when I see those things and I don't understand it, how can I get to the heart of God? I'm not going to get to the heart of God by just acting like, well, I don't know what to do with that, so let me push it aside, right? I'm going to get to the heart of God by looking at the details of all of it. What's the big message here? What's actually going on? And I start to ponder and think on God's level of holiness. And what does that mean? Now, none of that really answered my question completely, but what it did do is it deepened my understanding.
Yeah.
And it deepened my faith. And over time, I can understand those things better. You know, does that make sense?
It does make sense.
This is a quick random example out of the blue. I probably could have come up with something better, but that's just kind of what was on my mind in the moment. But I mean, I got all kinds of stuff like this that I think about all the time, and I just don't think that it's wrong to do. Like, I don't think in any way, shape, or form, I actually think it would be wrong to not explore our doubts and questions. I think that what we've kind of laid out there, or the weird haze that's over the church sometimes, is it's sinful to doubt and have questions. And I think what might be more sinful, or actually sinful, is not leaning into the questions and the doubts that you have.
Yeah.
Right? Because God has given us a mind, right? A very sophisticated mind. And in Jesus, right, redeemed and bought by Christ, we now have the mind of Christ because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us.
Yeah, you're right.
So to not use that and explore deeply into it would be sinful, right? So I want to find God. If God's going to find me with questions and some unbelief like Jairus, I want him to find me with unbelief and questions that I'm trying to pursue. I'm trying to get closer to you. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, help me see these things. Help me understand them. And I think he hears those and helps us through the questions and the doubts, not in ignoring them. So my plea to you in this episode would be, quit running from those questions and doubts. Quit doing it. Don't think that it makes you weak, or carry a bunch of shame because of it, or guilty or sinful, right? Don't be fearful of them. Quit being fearful of your doubts. Doubts have a way, if you'll lean into them, they have a way of growing a faith deeper than you'll ever know. Running away from them, I can guarantee you, won't grow your faith deeper. It'll mm-hmm. keep it on whatever level it was, right?
Yeah.
Instead of being able to, I want to dive deep into the things of God. I want to
Me too.
Explore the things of God that I can't get my mind around.
Yeah.
Because right? if I could get my whole mind around it, if I can get my whole mind, my whole human mind around what God's doing and how God's doing it, then he ain't a God worth following if I can get my mind around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Completely. But that's not going to stop me from trying. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know the deep things of God. And the only way you're going to get to the deep things of God is through a great big pile of doubts and questions. You know, shovel away. There's going to be lots of them. And
yeah.
and there's more and more and more, right? Like, you know, I know the Bible better than most people. I have read the Bible probably more than most people at a level at which I have to preach and teach on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. It's intense to be a pastor who is preaching every single week multiple times, right?
Yeah.
It's intense.
It has to be.
I heard this joke the other day. So Andy Stanley, you know, one of the preeminent pastors in America, his son is a comedian. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, he's hilarious. He's a comedian. And I saw him one time. We went to this thing, Andy Stanley, and they had brought Andy Stanley's son out, and he did comedy for us, making fun of us as pastors, like church comedy. It's hilarious. He did this comedy bit that I saw the other day. And it was just this quick little snippet, like a TikTok or whatever it was. And he goes, yeah, you know, pastors got hard jobs. And he goes, you know, as a comedian, I can just stand up and talk about whatever I want to. But a pastor is basically doing a new book report on the same book every single week Right.
That's funny.
A new book like report that. On the same book every single week.
That's
right?
True, though.
And got to do it. So I'm telling you, like, I know the scriptures pretty well. Now, there's lots and lots of stuff I don't know, mm-hmm. right? And I'm horrible at memorization when it comes to the scriptures. But I know a lot of stuff. I know a lot of theology. I'm quite educated in these things. And I've spent, and not just the education part, right? I'm immersed in this constantly. Mm-hmm. And I still uncover new questions and doubts all the time, right? All the time. Like right now, I'm reading through, I'm going to teach sometime in 2025 on the minor prophets.
Oh, yay. Right? That's fun.
And so we're going to teach on all the minor prophets. And the only reason they're called minor, by the way, is because their books are short, right? It's not because they aren't impactful or they're not as important as the major prophets, right? But I want to teach through the minor prophets. And you get just reading some stuff like that, you go, I don't know what to do with this. Like, there's some hard stuff in here. Mm-hmm. What in the heck does this mean?
It's cry cry.
And all of a sudden, as I'm reading, I'm going, do I believe that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just certain, and it's just part of it. And so I'm just leaning into it as best I can, because I think that's the way that you grow. And so if I could recap real fast, quit being fearful of your doubts. Questions are not the enemy of our faith. They are a way to deepen our faith. When I took over our student ministry about a year ago, we did a little survey with the students. Now, these are all teenagers, 7th grade and up. We did a little survey with them to kind of, because we were changing leadership, and I was going to lead, and our pastor from our Caswell campus was going to lead that group, the Caswell campus. So we did a little survey. And one of the things was rate these topics that you would want us to teach on. The number one rated topic was doubts and questions. Hmm. The number one out of everything you could put. Now, think about this. The list we put in front of this teenager included sex, relationships, money, your future, right?
Yeah.
Friendships, gossip, self-harm, depression, anxiety. I mean, it was a laundry list of things that you would think teenagers would be concerned about. And the number one thing that they picked across the board was to talk about doubts and questions.
That's really neat.
I think because everybody has them, mm-hmm. and it's time to explore them. So we spent 4 weeks going, don't run from these. Run to them. Don't run from them, right? Don't let them just fade into the background and act like they're not there, right? That's not real maturing faith. If you want to keep your faith on a surface level, ignore your questions, ignore your doubts. Your faith will stay just right, a little perfect, nice, clean thing that you know exactly what to do with. I don't want my faith to be a nice, clean thing. I don't think that's the way it works. I want it to be raw and real and honest. And I think that's what my God wants from me. You know, he wants me to be me and be honest about the things that I question, right?
Yeah.
And if he is God, then he's big enough to handle our doubts and our questions.
Yeah.
He's big enough to handle them. And so far in my life, that has proved true. Not all of them have been answered. Some of them I don't know what to do with. New ones spawn every day. But God is big enough to handle my doubts and questions, right?
Yeah.
So please, please, please. I won't sing. Please, please, please. Quit running from and being scared of and being fearful of your doubts. Every pastor I know would say the same thing to you for the most part, right?
Yeah.
There are some people who don't want to fool with that, but I'm telling you, this is where real genuine faith comes from.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Not
too bad, right?
No, honestly, I think this is one of my favorite episodes. So
it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know. At least I got Jairus right. I was hoping I got it right.
No, when you said Jairus, I was like, Jaira?
Jaira, he is a nug. You are a nug. I can't say the word enough without saying enug.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever seen the Dennis the Menace movie. It was a remake of the old Dennis the Menace show.
I hadn't seen it.
It was always hilarious. It came out in the mid-90s.
I know what you're talking about, but I never watched it.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. And there's this part where his little babysitter is over there and the babysitter's boyfriend comes, and the babysitter's boyfriend is trying to get him to take his bath and go to bed, and he makes him read him a story, and the boyfriend is stupid, right? He's this big jock stupid. So when he's reading it, he's reading this thing about some train, and he's like, He's like, I will never be Biggie Nug. So anyway, I don't know where we're going. Let's end this thing, Steph.
Well, thank y'all for joining
Thanks for joining us.
And I hope it blesses you. And please share with some other people that you know that would love to hear this.
Yeah, and if you've got doubts and questions and you want to throw them our way, we'll do our best to answer them. Or yeah. Guide you that way. So
hit us up in the comments.
Put them up on the comments. Throw it up in the comments. Put it on whatever. Send it to our social. You can message us there. Whatever you want to do. We'll be glad to help. You know, more than likely, you ain't got a question or a doubt that you can ask that I haven't had or have now. So you're in good company.
All righty. Well, we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.